She forgot to take you off. It's good to see everyone this morning. We're going to begin class here in just a moment, but you know, this is a special day. Every first day of the week is always a special day. We get to come together and worship the Lord, but this is also a special day in that this has been a planned day for some time now. And I'm calling it Homecoming Day, trying to get back some members that used to go here so that we could reassociate with you. And we do have some here this morning, and we appreciate so much y'all coming back and giving us the opportunity to get associated with you again. It's just so good to see you. And we're hoping that as the morning goes along, we're going to get to see more of our former members here and get to visit with them. And so we're going to be having a combined class this morning for the adults. And then we will have a worship service. And then after the worship service, we encourage everyone to stay around. We're going to have a fellowship meal over in the annex building. And then following that at 1:30, we will meet back in here for another worship service. It will be kind of an abbreviated version, at least on the preacher's part. And then we're going to call it a day, except for the young people, and we'll talk more about that later on in a special event that we've got planned going to the city this afternoon. Before we get started this morning, I want us to bow and have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we humbly bow before your throne of grace. And we thank you, Father, from our hearts to yours, for being with us, for staying with us, for walking with us, for taking care of us. For we know, Father, that as we gather together here today, we are but one congregation in the church that meets and gathers around the world. And as we do so, and as many others have done this very day, we come together to worship you and praise you and give you all glory, for you are worthy of the highest praise. And we thank you, Father, for your Son who has made all of this possible. And we know, Father, that was a very special gift of love that didn't end at that time, but continues on today and will last forever. And we pray, Father, thanking you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come together today and to share that love. And we pray as we study your word today that you will help us to understand it, that you will help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives, that you will help us to try to live the best we can according to your word. Forgive us whenever we fall. Forgive us whenever we sin against you. And help us to realize it. Help us to repent. And help us to try to live faithfully to you. And Father, that's not always an easy thing. But we know, Father, that you can make it possible. And we thank you. We thank you for all the spiritual gifts you give. We thank you for all the physical gifts that we know also come from your hand. And we thank you for this wonderful association we have in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You know, this being a homecoming theme, I looked through the Bible and kind of preparing some lessons for today's event. And I don't think that there's a more touching story of homecoming than the parable of the prodigal son. And you know, as I've studied the parables and I've studied God's Word, you know, one of the things that to me tends to play out as something that's very interesting is that a lot of the stories that Jesus tells, and of course they've all got their purpose, but a lot of the stories that he tells look like they could have really happened. And I really think that, you know, Jesus being the everlasting being that he is, you know, I think a lot of these stories that he tells were true stories. You know, even though he used them in a parable format, and even though he used them in a way to teach a lesson, we know that the things that happen in life on a very large scale, teach us very important lessons. Sometimes we can get some very important spiritual themes from these lessons. So as we look at Luke chapter 15, and that's where three of our lessons are going to come from this morning. We look at Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. This is just one of three stories that appears in the chapter of Luke 15. In fact, a lot of times, if you ever want to remember a chapter and what it's about in a book, you know, Luke chapter 15 sometimes is known as the lost chapter. It's not known as the lost chapter in that it's hard to find. It's known as the lost chapter in that all three parables have to do with something or someone being lost and being returned. And so the themes are glorious in what they're implying, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. But what we want to do is we want to look at verses 11 through 16 in this lesson this morning, and we want to talk about some of the points that are implied by these verses. Verse 11, Jesus starts out and he says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Now, I'm sure that as Jesus relates this, of course, he's talking, his audience is a bunch of Jewish people who were still living under the old law. And what's interesting about what happens to this young man is that he likely, being implied to be Jewish, had to, after squandering his inheritance, had to live as a pig farmer. And if you understand the culture and the laws of the old law and what the Jews were supposed to do, this was about as low as a Jew could possibly get. Because just being around pigs and swine made them continuously unclean. So, you know, he having to work in this environment was about the lowest he could be, not only spiritually, but also physically. And so, as we take a look at some of the points that these verses bring out, I think there's some very important points that apply to us today. And one of the most, you know, overall standout points of this verse, even though he's never mentioned, Satan is there. You know, Satan is in these verses. Who is it that would take someone from a good environment and bring them to the lowest environment that they could possibly be in? And that would be Satan. That would be the influence of Satan. Satan is really good at what he does. You know, when we talk about the ways that he leads people away from goodness, the way that he leads people away from righteousness, he uses worldly possessions sometimes. He used the allure of the world. You know, there are a lot of people living in sin. There are a lot of people that are living worldly lifestyles, and they think that those worldly lifestyles are going to give them certain amounts of satisfaction and pleasure within their lives. But they find out that that's not the case at all. And you know, I've even seen Satan use family to lead people away from God. You know, we talk about family and the importance of family, and we talk about how, you know, that families can be a blessing to us. Family should be a blessing. Family should be of sound enough mind and sound enough spirit that we help each other out to be as close to God as we possibly can be. But you know, I was ministering one time in a congregation, in a small congregation, in small towns, especially here in Oklahoma. Sports is a big deal. School. You know, the school is the lifeblood of small communities. You know, so everything tends to center around school events and children. You know, all of the social activities have to do with these particular events, and sports is a huge thing. In the congregation where I was preaching, there was at least four families that had children that were involved in the school, and they were all involved in sports. And I don't know how many times I'd look around on a Sunday morning, or I'd look around on a Sunday evening, or I'd look around on a Wednesday night, and there would be several of these families gone. And so I would start inquiring, well, you know, where's so-and-so? I miss them. And the word would get out, well, they had practice tonight. So, you know, they're all over at practice. Or there was a game going on, so they're all over at the game. Well, they had a game the night before, you know, Saturday night. They had a game Saturday night, and, you know, the kids are really tired. And so they decided to stay in and rest this morning. And, you know, one of the common themes that was going on there is that, you know, parents were following children because the children were involved in all these school events, and they were involved in these sporting events, and society had led them to believe, or Satan had led them to believe, that sports was more important than the Lord. And that it was a good excuse to miss out on spiritual activities that were going to strengthen them spiritually. Brothers and sisters, that just doesn't happen just in small congregations either, does it? It happens all over the place. We live in a society today where sometimes family activities become a barrier to the Lord. Instead of families being strong and helping each other to draw closer to the Lord, they become a detriment. Satan does that. See, this is one of the schemes of Satan, to take wholesome things and make them barriers to the Lord and lead people away from the Lord. Relationships and recreations. You know, we've got lots of folks who work hard during the week. And it's so easy sometimes to say, well, you know what? I've really worked hard this week, and I deserve my weekends. I deserve my time off. And we've got a lot of folks that it's just like we say, living for the weekend. We've got a lot of people that that's their lifestyle. It's all about, you know, work hard during the week and live for the weekend. And that those recreational things and those relationships that sometimes are brought out in weekend activities and things, they become more important than the Lord. Satan's behind that. Satan's behind a lot of these temptations. And here we see a young man who realized, you know, someday I'm supposed to receive an inheritance from my father. And so he goes to his father and he says, I want my inheritance now. I want to go and be part of the world. There's things I'm missing out on. Well, you know who was behind that? Satan was behind that. Satan put that in his heart and he went with it. And so it was that he goes and he does exactly what he wants to do. But you know what? We're told in the Bible that's the way it works sometimes with spiritual matters. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 through 23. You'll recognize this. Here's another parable that Jesus teaches. It's about the parable of the sower, of the seeds. And he starts out in the very first part of chapter 13 and he gives the parable. And then later on, his apostles and disciples didn't really understand it. And so they ask him about it and he starts giving an explanation. We pick up in verse 18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. You know, again, we can see Satan behind this. There are times when people just first hear about the gospel and they kind of understand it a little bit. They kind of, you know, they want to be saved. But, you know, whenever they really start delving into the Word of God, Satan says, oh, this is too difficult for you to know. You know, this is too much for you to try to understand. It's a lot easier to just try to understand the world and go back to the world and, you know, the simple life and do what you want. And there are folks that do that. So Jesus goes on, he says in verse 20, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. You know, here's one of the facts about Christianity. It would be so easy if being a Christian was easy. If being a Christian was without trial. If being a Christian was without having to go through any type of persecution and everybody appreciated you, respected you, and loved you for being a Christian. But you know what? That's not always the way it is it? And so Jesus is talking about those that, you know, were really joyful about being Christians, but then they experience the trials of the world. Then they experience the persecution that sometimes Christians experience, and they decide to go back to the world because it was easier for them to do so. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Worldly possessions, worldly power, worldly advancement, wealth. These things, let's just look at our own society. This is a huge temptation to many today. And there are many who look at these things and say, these things are more important than God is. These things are more important than me having the kind of relationship that I need to have. And then in verse 23 he says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, you know, we've taken a look at the four conditions of the ground that the seed falls on. But you know, there's an overall theme to that particular parable that sometimes we miss out on. Here's kind of what I see sometimes whenever I read this. Out of all the ground that was good, out of all the ground that the seed falls on and everything works the way it's supposed to work, everything works according to producing fruit in these particular things, it's only 25% of the people. And you know what? That's a fact that's hard to swallow. That God's word will only affect a small amount of people. There's only a small amount of people that will ever truly accept the Lord and stay with Him. And Christ Himself says that this is the fact. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, He says, for many are called, but few are chosen. You know, He not only says this once in His ministry, He says it twice, and He implies it several other times. Here's one of the facts that's hard to sometimes accept, but it's something that we do have to accept. And that is that Satan misleads more numbers of people than Christ saves. If you don't believe that, all we have to do is look around this morning. This is a community of close to 25,000 people. How many are here this morning? You know, we take a look around at the world. And you know, Christianity in its generality is still supposed to be the majority of people, but you're only talking about a small number in consideration of how many people live on this earth. And then whenever we get to the Lord's church, those who are truly faithful to His Word, we are, as the Bible says, a remnant, a small amount. And so we can certainly understand the powerful call of the world. We can certainly understand the great influence of Satan. Why is it that sometimes people wander away from something that is good for them and wander into a place where they're lost? They do that because Satan's doing his job. And that's something that we've got to be aware of. Satan's doing his job. Satan's doing what he loves to do. Satan's condemned for it. Satan's going to be punished for it someday. But right now, he's trying to take as many lives and souls away from God as he possibly can. And we've got to be aware of that. And when we take a look at the parable of the prodigal son, that's what's going on in the background. You know, even though Satan's name is not mentioned, that's what's going on. Satan influenced this young man to leave a good environment. And brothers and sisters, the Lord's church is the best environment we can be connected to in our life. And so it is that we need to try to strive to stay connected to this goodness. If you're away from Christ, there are those who are always concerned for you. You know, if you're here this morning and you haven't been faithful to the Lord, I want you to know that we've missed you. We're concerned for you. We love you. We want you to be part of the Lord's church. We want you to be connected to the goodness that we're trying to live. We're not always perfect. You know, we mess up. We make mistakes. We say things that we shouldn't say, but we're trying. And we want you to try with us. We want you to be part of that. But you know, if you're not here and if you haven't been here, there are people who are concerned for you. People who miss you. How many of you are familiar with Merle Haggard? You know, he's been in the news lately because he passed away here about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I'm still of the age that I can remember when Merle was kind of back in his heyday. It was, you know, I was just a little kid. But I remember whenever he was popular. I remember whenever he was singing all those songs. But, you know, I didn't realize until I was reading articles about his life, reading articles this 3 weeks ago about, his upbringing and that sort of thing, that his mother was a staunch member of the Church of Christ. Do you know that? And you know what? One of Merle Haggard's most famous songs was Mama Tried. Remember that? Don't you know that he was remembering his upbringing? Don't you know he was remembering the things that his mother stood for? Don't you know that it broke his mama's heart when he went to the world and he wouldn't return? I don't know how many mothers and fathers I have visited with over the years that were members of the church and their sons and their daughters were no longer faithful to the Lord. And there's just constant lamenting. What did I do? Why are my children not faithful anymore? Why have they wandered away from the Lord? Well, we've answered that this morning already. Satan influenced them because that's what he does. But it breaks our hearts, doesn't it? When people we love wander away from the Lord and are not faithful anymore. And so it is that we need to understand that if we wander away from Christ, there are people thinking about us. There are people that care about us. There are people that are wondering, where did they go? In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Christ said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." You know, he put it straight out in front of the audience. Of course, this audience was full of the Pharisees, but there were other Jews there. And he was more or less saying, you know what? We have sent people to preach to you. We have sent people to teach you. We've sent these prophets, and you stoned them and you killed them. You've been far away from God for a long time. But look at what he says. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you weren't willing. You see, what Jesus is saying here is, I've never left you. You left me. I didn't want you to go. I wanted you to stay with me. I would take you back if you would come, and I would wrap you up with my arms because I love you and I care about you. It's human nature for some people to say sometimes, well, no one has called on me, so no one cares. That's not true. It's just not true. Sometimes we find justification in that. Just, you know, people don't care about me. People don't want me around. People aren't calling me. People aren't visiting me. So, you know what? I'm just going to stay away. That's Satan again, working on you, keeping you away. Because we love those who have committed themselves to the Lord. And if they're away from us, we miss them. And we care about them. And we want them back. Being away from Christ does not make our lives better. You know, here's another one of those facts that we might as well acknowledge. Sometimes people wander away from Christ, again, for the very same reasons that we've talked about. Some just find Christianity too difficult to live, and to them it's easier to go back to the world. But, you know, Satan gives them that illusion that it's easier to do so. Because whenever they get back in the world, things aren't any more simple there. And things start going bad there. I remember whenever I was working as a minister in Purcell, Oklahoma, and I was a minister there for 10 years. And there was a woman one time that came to me and she said, Dennis, she said, I need some advice. And I said, okay, you know, what can I do to help you? And she said, well, she said, I've had 3 or 4 marriages. She says, I'm in a marriage right now, and every one of them have been abusive in some sort of way. Right now, I'm married to a man that's gambling our money away. And she says, I don't know what to do. She says, I've got health problems. But she says, I also take medications. And she says, I've got to the point to where I'm taking medications when I shouldn't be taking medications. I'm abusing prescription medications. And then she talked about the sufferings that she was going through with the problems that her relationships were causing, the problems that it was causing with her very own children. You know, she had lost her children. They were grown up and everything, but they were far away and they were having problems of their own because, you know, her life was never right. And she was having relationship problems with her husbands, and then that related to the children. You know, her life was a mess. And she says, what do I do? So we sat down and we opened up the Bible and we looked at biblical solutions. And those biblical solutions, folks, weren't easy. For her situation in life, they demanded some pretty severe repentance, some pretty severe changes. But you know, what's really special about my job, what's heartbreaking is sometimes people don't want to make those changes. But what's special is, every once in a while, I get to see people make those changes. You know, that to overcome great barriers and complications to come and be with the Lord. That woman did that. She separated from her husband, and who really wasn't her husband because of scriptural reasons anyway. And she moved in with her mother. And her mother was 85 years old. And she was not a Christian either. But she was raised morally, and she was a good woman. And so she moved in with her, and they lived, and they got by and by. They formed a great relationship. They were coming to church. And before long, her mother decided to obey the gospel. And she's the one that I tell you about sometimes that she decided to obey the gospel in January. and the baptistry was broken. The heater on the baptistry was broken. And that water was ice cold. And I told her, I said, you know, maybe we should go over to your home and let's run some warm bath water and, you know, do it that way. And she said, oh, no, I'm getting baptized in that baptistry. And I said, well, you know what? If you die of shock, I can't think of a better way to go. But at 85 years old, she went into some water that was at least 40 degrees, and she was baptized, and she died in the Lord. And the other woman is still going today, but because of her relationship, because of her changes in life, another soul was saved. You know, sometimes life can get complicated, but the answer and solution to those complications is to turn back to the Lord and look for the answers that He has to give. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And you know, a lot of times we stop there because we're trying to emphasize how important Scripture is. We're trying to emphasize how important the Bible is. We're trying to emphasize the authority of God's Word. And all those things are very true. But look at the next verse. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You understand that what this is implying is that if we're not abiding with the Lord, if we're not abiding in His Word, and that's what abiding with the Lord is, abiding in the Word of God. If we're not doing that, and we're far away from that, we will never be complete. There's always going to be some problems and complications within our life. And what the problems that, you know, even as Christians, sometimes we have problems and complications, but at least we've got answers. At least we've got support. At least we've got encouragement from good brothers and sisters. But if we're apart from that, we have nothing. We have nothing. If God's Word is not a part of our life, then we are not complete. This is when life can start spiraling downwards. Abusive habits can get out of control. Relationships can go bad and break apart. Depression, despair, and a loss of hope can become unwanted companions in our life. No one has to go through that. Everyone can be with the Lord and have all these things erased. Have hope in their life. You know, if we can't find any good other good things, and certainly we can find a lot of good things about being in the Lord, but you know, if we're having a hard time finding good things about being a Christian, that's one thing that the world can never offer us. Hope. We will always have hope in the Lord. But we have that hope only with the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 14 through 16 again, back in the parable of the prodigal son. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. You understand the process here? He was in a good environment with a good father and a good family, but he decided he wanted to go and be part of the world. He joined himself to the world, and everything started spiraling downward until he hit the bottom of the barrel. And the sad thing is about that is it's not just a story in the Bible. I've ran across a lot of individuals that have found themselves in the same position. And they didn't like it. They shouldn't have liked it. But there were answers for them. God gives answers. Christ gives answers. Christ gives strength. God gives us the freedom to make our own choices. Here's one of the last things that we kind of want to focus on this morning. Here's the other theme that's noticed here. This is the main point of the first six verses of this parable. When the son asks the father for his allotted portion of wealth, the father doesn't tell him, no, you have to stay with me. I'm not going to give it to you. You have to stay with me. You know who the father is in this parable, right? It's God. And one of the things that the Bible tells us about God, one of the things of God's nature is He's not going to force us to do what we don't want to do. He gives every one of us a choice. Everyone here this morning has a choice. You get to do what you want to do. You get to go where you want to go. Prodigal son chose to take his inheritance and go be part of the world. A choice can either be one of two things. It is either a good choice or it's a bad choice, right? Life teaches us this is true. Was prodigal son's choice a good choice? Obviously not. But you know what? There are a lot of people in this world that have made that choice. And their life is not necessarily good because of that. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because Joshua is at a point where he knows that he is getting ready to pass on. And they've come in and they've conquered most of the nations, but he didn't conquer all the nations. And because they didn't conquer all the nations, some of the influences, some of the sinful influences, the worldly influences, are starting to appear in the lives of God's people. And so Joshua stands up and he recounts the history of why they are there and what they have done, what God has done for them to get them there. And he says, okay, it's time to make a choice. Here you're on a pinnacle of having to make a decision as to which way you're going to go. But listen to what he says. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here was Joshua's decision. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know what? Everybody has to make a decision. And there's only one of two choices. And everybody in this world is doing one of these two choices. There's no confusion. There's no gray area in this. We are either serving the Lord with all faithfulness, or we're serving Satan. It's just that simple. And that's the way the Bible plays it out. That's what Jesus tells us as well. Our choices are very important. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And when you read chapter 25, there's three parables there that relate to the second coming of Christ and to the life and the choices in which people will make. And there were three bad choices out of three parables there that were made that led people away from God and caused them to not do the right thing. What will determine who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? The choices one makes. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 through 6 tells us this. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. There are all kinds of deeds in life. Now, everyone's going to do some sort of deeds. But what determines our eternal destination is based upon what choices we make. Whether we will do good deeds or whether we will do bad deeds. You know, I remember back in the 80s whenever Charles Barkley was playing basketball. And I was a fan of Charles Barkley's game. I wasn't a fan of Charles Barkley's life. And you know, some reporters were talking to him one time. They said, you know, why is it that you do these things and say these things on the court? Don't you know that you are an example or a role model to those who are younger? What do you say about being a role model? And I don't know if y'all remember, he was famous for saying this. He says, "I am not a role model." You know what? He was wrong. We're all role models. We're either role models for righteousness or we're role models for unrighteousness. That's based upon our choices and what we decide to do in life. In conclusion this morning, and kind of to lead us up into our next lesson later on, while the majority of souls are likely to be led away by Satan, and again, that's just a true fact. All we have to do is look around at the world today. I want to defy the odds. How about you? I want to defy the odds. Yes, there are millions, maybe billions, in the world today who have been led away from Satan. I don't want to be one of those. I don't want you to be one of those. You don't want to be one of those. We want to be with God. We want to be where righteousness dwells. We can defy the odds. In talking about the rich young ruler, or talking to the rich young ruler, you remember Christ was mentioning to him all the things that he needed to do, and he said, I've done all these things. And he said, okay, now go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. Because he knew that one of the things that we've discussed this morning, what was standing in the way between him serving the Lord was worldly goods. And so it was that he tells him this, and he went away disappointed. But listen to what Christ said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 25 to 26. His disciples heard it. They were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible. Now listen to this. But with God, all things are possible. Brothers and sisters, sometimes there's things that happen in my life and I think, how in the world am I ever going to make it to heaven? But I know the answer to that. Jesus Christ is going to help me make it to heaven. If I have to depend on what I do, I'm in trouble. If I have to get there by my own merits, I'm in trouble. But if I can get there through the grace of my God, He can make all things possible. We can defy the odds. The question we have to answer this morning is, do we want to do that? Thank you for your attention this morning.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I want to record it.
It was recorded.